There's a bunch of reasons. Like Dustin Brown. Oh, yeah. Dustin Brown is one of my least favorite players in the world. Looks like a fucking absolute hooker. He looks fucking terrible, man. He looks so bad. He's just like, look at him. He just looks like he has gummers for breakfast when he was winning that cup and stuff. I was like, I hate this guy. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Hoser's Panel. I am one of your hosts, Tyler Croakman, T. Croaks, and with me are Mike and Taylor, two of my best buddies. How we doing, fellas?
Doing great, Ty. Episode 19, it's just flying by week by week.
Flying by, man. We got like 10 games till the end of the season. Taylor, how are you? How you feeling?
What's going on, Ty? I am feeling great. I'm like pretty tired, but like I'm buzzing. Let's go. It's
dude. I'm excited. I'm hurting.
Mike's got his fucking jaw open. Let's
dude,
hear it, buddy.
Crazy stuff in this Sharks game.
What do you got?
Guy had a wide open net. Absolutely huge save by, I'm assuming it's Martin Jones. And then like 5 seconds later, puck goes behind him and their defenseman lays out and just swipes the puck off the goal line. I'm not sure how it stayed out
twice. Oh my God. Was that a save from him?
Yeah.
It's not Martin Jones. It's rookie goalie. Yeah, I don't even know his name. It's like Konar or something. Yeah.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Oh my Atlanta.
Fun stuff. Good way to start.
Holy cow! Here we go. That's a good way to start. We're buzzing. All right,
boys. Welcome back. Another week hockey. Mm-hmm. We're getting playoffs are coming, man. And like the dog race. For the playoffs, you know, the final spots. I mean, I guess guys are clinching now, so not really final spots, but yeah, like teams are starting to get eliminated. Teams are starting to get clinch playoffs. Like it's exciting.
Yeah. There's definitely some battles in the divisions that still have them. The battles are real close and
yeah,
definitely. Should be coming down to the wire. Like the Rangers, they're still looking on the outside, but I mean, it's closer than it was fucking a month ago, that's for sure.
Could end up in first place, who knows, eh, Ty?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome, too. I was looking at, I was hoping, they actually scored, like, they kept up with the leaders in this division, like, right up there with the Penguins and the Capitals for most goals for. They're right up there with 164, just trailing behind the Penguins with 169, Caps with 170. So pretty cool considering their group, and no one else is really that close to them. Next closest person, 136. We're looking at the Flyers and Bruins and Islanders, all tied there. So I found that interesting. Good for them.
So like you said, Ty, like at the beginning of the year when you kind of went into it with your predictions, you got to score goals in these divisions, right? Got to score goals, and the teams that score goals are going to do well. And obviously Caps, Pens, they've been doing pretty well this year. But yeah, the Rangers, like recent surge, it's because of goal scoring. So
It's interesting.
Good call on your part.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. I got something. Man, I had a lot of bad ones this year. But yeah, what else? You want to talk about if the playoffs were right now? I'm trying to find
it. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I'll probably do it by points percentage instead of because, you know, teams like and their games it's remaining and stuff.
Yeah, you don't know, like... Yeah, if they're good.
I like it. Them all. Do you have that list or no?
Yeah, I do. Hey, yo. In the West, it would be number one seed Vegas against number four St. Louis. St. Louis is only up 1 point against Arizona, but they got a couple games in hand, so they're a little bit bigger lead than what it kind of looks like on paper. But
yeah,
two great matchups, I think. I think St. Louis is finally finding their mojo a little bit. They were pretty sluggish at the start, but them and Vegas would be a great series. Same as Colorado, Minnesota. Minnesota always gives Colorado a bit of a handful, especially when they're at home. So
yeah, there's so much speed in that matchup. Like, that would be a wicked one to watch.
I just hope that Vegas and Colorado both make it out so we can get that second round matchup. That'll be
That'll be sweet. Incredible. What a test. Whoever's left standing after that. Go ahead.
I think like St. Louis will be interesting because like 2 years ago they're at the bottom of the league halfway through the year and then completely turned around, won the cup, right? So they have that, I don't know if I should call it pedigree because I don't think it is pedigree, but they have that in their bag. Like, they've done it before. So they can come from, like, being, like, a bottom-ish team, not performing very well beginning of the year, to all of a sudden on a roll, they're going when they need to go and, like, do something in the playoffs. So
they got that light switch.
Yeah. Absolutely they do. Parmite?
Oh, I just said totally too.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry.
No worries.
In the Central, we have Carolina, first team to clinch in that division. They clinched tonight. They would be taking on Dallas as the number four seed. Wow. Dallas and Nashville, tight as can be. Dallas is a 563 point percentage, and Nashville is a 560 point percentage. So neck and neck right there. Wow. And then Tampa, Florida for a battle of the of the state. That'd be a hell of a round.
Man, Tampa and Florida have both been in this league for so long, and like the rivalry has never really developed.
No.
And it makes me kind of sad because like interstate rivals, like you'd think that there'd be something more there, but it just hasn't gone anywhere. I think now with both of the teams being like the teams that they are, I think there's a huge chance, especially if they meet in the playoffs, whether it's first or second round, that they kind of develop something a little bit more feisty, which is
Totally.
I mean, playoff round will automatically do that. Like it's pretty hard to get through a playoff round where no bad blood comes of it.
I was even sort of thinking today watching the games and yesterday actually that just the intensity every game seems to have leveled up. It just because that time of year, I guess we're getting closer. Everyone's, you know, teams got to start really warming up for the show here. That even if you're whether you're in it, whether you're fighting, you got up the intensity and yeah, of course it's going to happen again in the playoffs come playoff time, but it's definitely been exciting hockey. I just feel like there's been a ton of big hits and
yeah, every team knows that they got to rev up their energy. It's not like they can just flip a switch after the season starts. They need to just, you know, get their boots going a few games with left in the season.
Yeah.
And especially teams on the bubble, they're looking every point matters because usually they're playing somebody that they're chasing or is right behind them, so
yeah.
Definitely this year too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, every game's in a division. Every point matters now.
Yeah, tons.
Overtime games suck. Especially when you're trying to catch the team in front of you.
Oh yeah, like if you're like the fifth seed and number three and four go to overtime, it's just like, well, great.
Yeah, or you're the fifth seed and you're playing the fourth seed and you go to overtime, like fuck. You only make that 1 point gain if you win.
The East Division, we would have Washington, Boston, and that'd Pittsburgh Islanders.
Dude, Washington, Boston. Oh my.
Yeah. Chara back in Boston for the playoffs. Yeah.
That's insane.
Same thing between Pittsburgh and Washington, though. 1 point difference with one game in hand for Washington, so it's a 688 points percentage against 684.
Well.
And Pittsburgh, I think, has got to be the surprise partially of the year.
Sort of, yeah.
I think Florida's like, up there.
Yeah.
And Minnesota a little bit as well.
Minnesota, yeah. We were down on Pittsburgh a lot, though, for the team that they have. Like, we were down on them pretty hard.
They just do it. They always did. Made a cut, like, one or two small deals this year. Well, no, key deals, like, but not a ton, I don't think. Just, like, a couple key deals, brought in players that they needed. And they just, and, like, they, and of course, above all, the play that you get from Crosby and Malkin whenever they're out there is just so acceptable. Okay, Crosby. Whenever they're out there, it's so exceptional.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Malkin's still hurt, right?
And Letang too. Letang's having such a year again. So I don't know. It's just kind of surprised as usual. Pardon me. What were you saying?
Malkin's hurt still.
Right? He is. He is back. Yeah. I thought he was back, but no. Checking today, he's not.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think like we were too early to kind of dog on the Penguins. Obviously, they haven't looked great. They lost to Montreal last year in the play-in round. Like it. Yeah, the trajectory of their playoff performance, their climb, their Stanley Cup wins was kind of on the down slope. Like there's not much left there, so it was easy to kind of pick them to not make the playoffs this year. But if I'm honest, like how I'm just shocked that we did based on the fact that Sid's still there. I think as long as Sid is there and he's performing a little bit and he's got guys around him who can also perform. Like you can't knock him out. You can't count him out because he's always going to be that leader. But then also just like go out and show, like how to work on the ice as well. So, yeah.
I just didn't think they had the goaltending for this division. But
yeah.
I thought I had Pittsburgh seventh. Okay, I only had them fifth. That's not too bad.
I was just gonna say I don't know. It's always a factor those big players, but I just like you got to think they're gonna age out at some point, but. You're a fool. The fact is, you're just a fool to think Ovechkin or Crosby are going to show you that for a while until, like, the bitter end. Like, they're playing every year. It's kind of insane, especially when they can be rested. At least Crosby can be rested as needed. So, yeah, I don't know.
You also have to, like, with Pittsburgh, you also have to look at the play of, like, Jake Gensel and Jared McCann, Kasperi Kapanen coming in there back there, I guess, then. Has kind of like stepped up their like secondary scoring a little bit, so that helps for sure.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I mean, like, come on, the acquisition of Jeff Carter, like, yeah, awesome. Kasperi Kapanen, awesome. Like, two players are gonna bring offense a bit more. Two-way game from Carter, big guy. I don't know. I always love the acquisitions. I said it like 3 or 4 times this year. Penguins always do 1 or 2 moves that I just love, so I don't know. Yeah. They did it again. They put themselves in a great spot, and we're going to see what they do in the playoffs here.
We have Toronto taking on Montreal. Great series.
Ooh, that's incredible.
Yeah. And then Edmonton-Winnipeg, which if it's anything like tonight, oh boy for Winnipeg.
Yeah, Hellebuck's not looking so hot.
Wow, you give McDavid 6 breakaways.
Yeah, he's but gonna, even last week. Even last week, he wasn't looking very good.
No, for sure. Definitely not. He's had a bit of a... I mean, he's down to... He's bound to break at some point. His defense is tragic, so...
Yeah. Yeah, you can't be godlike all year round.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Winnipeg Jets and their fans.
And if he does, he can't do it for 2 straight seasons, so, you know.
Yeah, true.
And, yeah, I mean, the Canucks and Flames are kind of slowly slipping out of... chances of making that.
Yeah, they both lost tonight, so
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm honestly surprised by the recent resiliency of both these teams, but yeah, everyone's like, how long is this gonna last? Not long. So yeah, the chances get slimmer. It was a big loss for Calgary tonight, so looking like we can see the bracket already here.
Yeah,
shouldn't be much change.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and, like, there was a little bit of hope. I think more hope in Vancouver's eyes when they come back from COVID and beat Toronto. I think they beat them twice in a row, right? The first 2 games back.
They were on fire. I can't remember exactly.
Yes.
Anyways, did, yeah. Come back and beat like, the top team in the division 2 games in a row. All these games in hand. Like, it's looking pretty good. Like, and then, all of a sudden come out and lose to Ottawa tonight. And it just, yeah, it's not... It's not ideal, not what you want to do. Kind of showing their old face, which, fair enough, that's fine.
Yeah.
Montreal deserves to be in the playoffs with the season they've had, I think, so far. So.
Totally. Inconsistent play in this division is like the most obvious example that you're not ready at all. So I think right now it's written. It's just like we were kind of wrong with the predict. We thought at the beginning of the year, but that one, I always say it wrong. The West, the Western Division ends up just being kind of like exactly what we thought, black and white. And it looks like the North is like that too, which I think we thought would be like that, but we thought there'd be more of a fight for the end here. But yeah, it's looking that way, we're just, at least by this point. Shortened season too, so I guess that window's kind of like more blunt. Once, I mean, you know, there's less games, so there's less to make up.
Yeah. Yeah, the North would be the only division I go 4-for-4 in for teams. Not order, but just like getting the teams in there. It'd be the only one. So...
Gonna have a look at see which ones I did.
Was that all the
that's all of them, yeah.
Yeah,
we quickly mentioned the Carolina, obviously we said they clinched a playoff spot tonight, Monday night. Florida and Tampa both could have clinched if Florida won tonight, but they lost. And then earlier this week, Vegas, Colorado, and Minnesota all clinched. It's really not a big deal. They're miles ahead. They were gonna clinch at some point. It's not like they weren't gonna somehow fall into the playoffs, but yeah, they get the certainty, and Tampa and Florida should follow pretty quickly here. Everything else, I'm not too sure how long it's going to be, with especially for the Leafs, because the Canucks have so many games remaining. They got 28 possible points still. So, yeah, Toronto needs like 4 points or something. And, I mean, Pittsburgh should clinch pretty quickly here as well. It's okay, we got, 8 games left for most teams? Somewhere down to 6. It's crazy how quick this has gone.
Yeah, the gaps are, like, the games in hand on some teams are kind of funny. Like, you definitely got to keep an eye on that.
Well, yeah, because, like, the Canucks were had, like, 5 games more than everybody until they got hit by COVID, and that kind of nestled them all the way back down, and now they have 5 in hand on everybody.
Yeah. Yep. Man, I'm looking at our, like, predictions. I had, in the East, I had Philadelphia as number one seed.
Same. Oh, no, sorry, I had Boston, then Philly.
That's rough, man. Carter Hart leads the league with 26 wins. Yes. Looks good.
Yeah. My first note is Carter Hart's a star, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Which we I feel like there's better that. Odds that he gets traded to the Stars than was a star this year, so. A little rough. But hey, that's why they're predictions.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I had one thing I kind of wanted to bring up. I think I talked about it a bit before, but then I saw a tweet that kind of spelled out most of the names, or a bunch of the names of the past little while that have been hanging them up. And then it kind of spells out a bit, my point out a bit better. Point being, just like, I feel like people are going to be signing shorter contracts or just hanging them up. Because, like, there's got to be this big movement this next year or two of, do I still want to do this? Do I want to do this? The young and old, kind of, I think all players might look at that at least once. And the older, the more you got to look at it, because there's obviously a bunch of other things you got to think about. But I know they said in the last 6 months, this tweet, last 6 months or so, Corey Crawford, Brent Seabrook, Andrew Shaw all hung up their skates. Chris Versteeg, Patrick Sharp, Brian Bickle, and Marian Hossa before them. All of them forced or choosing to retire probably earlier than expected. Like, do you think there'll be more of this? And I was like, I absolutely think so. I just wonder what this... I think this offseason is going to be brutal. It's kind of what I'm getting at.
I think this season took such a hard toll on the players.
Mm-hmm.
Just from, like, not being able to do anything and...
So many
just,
things.
Yeah, it's just like the Family. Mental health of these guys have just been... Especially guys and teams who have dealt with COVID and... all those isolations and stuff. I think it's been super hard. So, like, guys who were high 30s and even in their 40s as well, I think the mental health aspect is kind of making them lose a bit of their enjoyment of the game and kind of like, why am I still doing this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's easy for them. Not easy, but, like, easier for them to just, okay, it's a stopping point here. I think if next year, if they can get everything back to normal, get fans in the building, get, like, you know, society back to norms a little bit, I think it'll rejuvenate a lot of guys. But I think right now, especially on guys on, like, losing teams, imagine just, like, if your team's just in the garbage and you're constantly in, like, a singular hotel room on the road by yourself, no one's near you, and it's got to be rough. So
no, I think totally.
If they can get everything back to normal in terms of the league and just the world, I think it'll liven a couple guys or a lot of guys' careers up again.
It was mostly with when I saw Shaw go, I think it was like yesterday or something, hang him up or like super recently.
Shaw, yeah.
We got the news on Shaw and I was like, and I saw the concussion, I knew he had concussion problems and they said that was a factor. And then I saw this tweet and it just made me think, like, first thing I thought when I saw him was like, man, he probably wasn't that healthy, but I was like, he was one of the younger ones of all these guys go, like, for hanging him up. He was only 29 still.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe. Then it just made me think, like, that's what I'm really worried about. If younger guys start, I just hope I don't see that. And I think if I do, it'll be right when the season's over, or right when teams are eliminated from playoffs. I feel like we might hear it from at least a couple people, but I really hope we don't. Kind of worries me.
It's super interesting too, because, like, yeah, the younger the game gets, or like right now, I would say it's considered a young man's game. You see, like, all these 100%. Stars come in at 20, 21, even 19, and, like, make an impact, right? And each year, I would say the league gets younger and younger. So it kind of almost makes the players in their mid to late 30s, even some in their early 30s, a little bit more, like, irrelevant comparatively. So, it's just, it's sad, I think. But I definitely agree. I think we'll see a lot more of these guys, like, retiring early because they just can't keep up with their, like you said, like, COVID's playing a toll and it's not what they want to do anymore, the mental health side. Or B, like, they can't keep up with the league anymore. Like, they just don't have a place in the league, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, hopefully in Shaw's case, he gets a bit better from the concussions and everything because that was definitely the leading cause.
Had to be, yeah.
So hopefully it's not too much damage that affects him too hard for the rest of his life. But obviously we know it's a hard, fast game, and head injuries are not a thing to be fooled around with. Yeah, mess with.
Yeah.
Also, I kind of skipped on it, but congratulations to a great career, obviously. I think he got a couple cups in there too, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So yeah, great job, great work, fun to watch.
Quick note, we were talking about the Jets-Oilers game. Connor Hellebuck did not return for the third period.
Figured, yeah.
Yeah. Laurent Brossoit, a good island boy, is in net now.
Hey.
Well, I mean, side note on that game. Leon Draisaitl passed Marco Sturm tonight for the most NHL points by a German-born player.
Really?
And Draisaitl was like 24.
488 points. Yeah, he is 25, turns 26 in October. So.
Oh, my God.
How are you doing, Draisaitl?
Dude, Marco Sturm was like my favorite player from like NHL 05. I loved Sturm as a kid. I don't know why. He was never on one of my favorite teams, but like, I don't know. I just loved Marco Sturm.
He surpassed him for what?
Most points by a German player.
Oh my God, dude, that's fucked.
He's still got about 50 goals to go for the goals, but
how many years did Sturm play?
He played just under 1,000 games.
Oh,
wow.
Got 487 points in 938.
Oh my God.
That's crazy. And Draisaitl's played.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. We already know it.
Draisaitl has played 468 tonight and has 488 points.
That's fucked. He's going to be fucking German royalty. Instantly.
Oh, he's definitely German royalty.
That's a ball. Oh, yeah, I know, but that's. Oh my God. That's huge. That's just way faster than I thought.
Tim Stützle is already 15th.
Wow.
Yeah, true.
He's got 25 points.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he's slowing down this year, too. Fair enough.
But should we jump into the biggest news in Tay's world this past week?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
You're talking about
the Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup rings?
Stanley Cup rings. Frickin'
Sparky rocks.
Did not shed one little bit of detail. Just everything's decked out with a reason. And, man, they look... The silver of the diamonds with the dark blue of the Lightning is just an incredible combination.
Mm-hmm. Man, the box was gorgeous. Like the pictures them opening them up were like, honestly, it was stunning. The white with the blue outside and the white inside, it looks so nice. The big blue logo in the middle there. I even saw Time on the Ice was there on there with the signature on the inside and the final series scores. Yeah, wicked detail on this baby. Like,
I could be wrong, but I don't remember too many teams having like the player's signature on the inside.
No, that one I saw was new.
I thought that was really cool. Because obviously they always have like the names on the side and like they're usually their numbers and everything. But I don't really remember ever seeing the signatures. Because like, yeah, the series numbers are usual kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's been regular since probably 5 or 10 years or so. Yeah, I thought the signatures was a nice added touch.
Yeah, they had the locker room victory song on there. That got me a gravy train. That was killing me. These things are sweet. Well worth the wait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember how, like, usually they get them pretty quick into the season, eh? Like, usually by at least Christmas.
Yeah, I thought.
Obviously, the season's a little different, but usually it's not 10 months, 11 months.
No, it's usually pretty close to around the time they do it in the NBA. Like, they're usually not too far apart. And they were so early this season. Yeah. So that was kind of funny, but... but yeah, so much stuff. I didn't know what this was for a while. It took me a couple times reading it over, but the Distant Thunder in between the year 2020. And
super cool.
The tribute to the fan base feature, the fan base motto, pardon me, for the playoffs, which I honestly didn't really know until I did some research. So I thought that was awesome too. But
yeah, I didn't know they had a name for it either. But yeah, just a little fans from afar kind of thing.
It's a cute way. Yeah, it's a cute way to remember that or commemorate it. I thought, honestly, like I wouldn't want to forget that aspect at all when I'm looking down on it.
No, definitely not. And then like the 27, right? 27 sapphires around the cup and the logo to commemorate how many years the Lightning have been an organization.
Yeah, wicked detail there.
Yeah. but in all 14 karat white gold, 557 diamonds, 81 genuine sapphires, and a modest 25 carats of gemstones.
Yeah, dude. Bling, bling.
A couple dollars from the owner for that one.
Yeah, jeez. Jeez. And then, I don't know, who else gets them? Do you know who gets them? Like, who, even the, like, the smaller ones that...
Yeah, so, like, definitely all the players get it. I'm pretty sure, I think all, like, the Black Aces get them as well.
Yeah, they do.
Black Aces.
Yeah, so, like, the... Because the roster expands to so many guys, they bring up...
The casino dealers.
The 10 players or whatever that just sit in the, and the guys who just sit in the stands basically and party. Yeah, really no chance of getting in, but in case five injuries happen, they're there.
Do they get the big one too? I guess so, obviously.
Yeah,
I think
so, yeah. And then like the coaches, the trainers, I would assume like some of the scouting staff gets at least some sort of one. Maybe not like a crazy decked out one, but definitely like a ring.
Oh, for sure.
Head office or front office. And then I think they can give player or ranks to guys who played like over half the season but were traded away before that, because I've seen a couple times, which I don't know about you guys, but I would not want it if I was traded away at the deadline and then that team went on to win the cup. I wouldn't want a ring. I didn't do anything.
It depends, man. Like, if you played a essential role in like getting them to where they were halfway through the season when they were when you were traded, maybe. Also, if you were traded for a piece that literally won you the cup or won that other team the cup, absolutely not. Because like with you on the team, would they have won the cup if they didn't have this other player?
Well, let's take it like if Washington wins the cup this year and you're Jakub Vrána, do you want a Stanley Cup ring?
No. Yes. Wait. Ooh, I see what you mean. I meant the other way around.
When I think it was Washington last time, I think there was a dude that was on the Canucks or something like that. And like December of the following year, they presented him with a ring. Like, oh, thanks, fellas. Like,
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Because you didn't lift the cup. I wouldn't want the ring.
Yeah, I think I would agree.
I don't know, man. There's, I mean, I'm just like, I can't think on the spot, but I feel like there's like a stipulation where, I don't know. What if you got injured, like playing with them and then they traded you or something and then they won the cup that year? I'd be like, what the fuck, man? Like, I blew out my ACL for you motherfuckers. And then like, well, I don't know, man.
If I'm not on the roster, I don't want one. I could be a healthy scratch and totally play zero games in the playoffs. I would take a ring because they're my boys. But like, if I'm part of a different organization by the time they win the cup, I don't want
That's
one.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Or if they trade you at the deadline in a full season, even then?
Yeah, I guess if you're like, in the locker room, if you're in the locker room all year, sure, take one. Like, if you're there through the run, take one. But if you're not there, like, as they're lifting the Stanley Cup, if you're on another team, like, if you are with another team, then no, you shouldn't get one.
I don't think it's crazy to get one if you get traded from that team. And you've played majority of the games with that team in the year. I don't think that's that crazy.
I think it's fine for, like, the owners to offer one. Yeah. And I think there's some players that definitely would accept it.
Doesn't sound crazy.
I just wouldn't want one.
That's fair. No, I could see it. It's like it's kind of like being on like the Blackhawks dynasty team. Like, how many players did they shuffle out and shit that were kind of like essential at a time or for key players? Like, they made so many good deals, bringing people like Hossa and move people other places, and so I don't know. Like, I just feel like some people in that deal probably played most of the season with them, and they brought them in for the run. I don't know. If I was one of them, I'd take it. Fuck it.
I always think about like Ryan Whitney when he was traded for Chris Kunitz, and he's like obviously very bitter towards the Pens because he wanted to win the cup instead of get traded that year.
Yeah,
like, imagine if they offered him a ring. I'm pretty sure he would slam the door in his face.
Fair enough, but I mean, like, he's also bitter. I don't think everybody's like that.
I'd be bitter too, though.
If my team went all the 100%, way, 100%. I mean, like, he has an extreme case. It'd be pretty fucking hard not to. But I don't know. I just feel like some people... Those are like the best examples I can think of, are those dynasty teams where it's always shifting on a couple players because, like, I feel like some of them are pretty big. Sorry. Best one I can think of was Chicago. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say, like, Whitney is the example that I think of when I think of, like, oh, should the player who played with him halfway through the year like, get a ring. And I would agree, like, he would say no 100%. Even if they went to him and offered him one, and, like, he was like, well, it's a Stanley Cup ring, I could have it. Like, he would, like, I would say majority of the players in the league would, like, probably feel iffy about it.
Did anyone else from Tampa, did anyone get traded from Tampa the year they won? Like, anyone D's, like, big, even, like, key role players, like, traded for a piece? Like, you think any of them got stung by it? Like, that's a good example, too.
Mike, you know what?
Go ahead.
I think the guys that are, like, being presented the ring weren't guys that were traded before they won the cup, but were traded after they won the cup. So, like, no, they won the cup, and then they were traded in the offseason, then get their rings halfway through the year, and then they, like, give it to them the next time they play that team.
Usually that's what they do, but the one I'm thinking of was, like, even the player was like, oh, it's classy of these guys to provide me with a ring because he was traded, like, the trade deadline. But, yes, that's usually what happens is
okay.
If, like, a free agent goes somewhere else or something after winning the cup.
Right.
Then
Sorry.
I was gonna say a funny ass example is, like, I know that the LA, like, different league obviously, but I know, like, the LA Kings or sorry, fuck, LA Lakers and like, oh man, and like, I think even the Golden State Warriors, when they were winning all their rings, they were trading people all the fucking time. Like, it's like funny people who, like, never got a ring their whole career, and they were accepting them, like, and they just got traded, like, halfway through the year before. That's an awesome, easy example because I know that's happened, and it was, like, big names too. Like, I think DeMarcus Cousins was one. Like, one to one his whole career, and then, like, still gets one in some cheesy ass way. And I was like, oh, like, and, like, and he totally accepted it, like, in front of everybody. And I remember thinking it was one of the funniest things, but I don't know. I just could see it in some cases. Like, for example, if anyone, I can't think of off the top, but if anyone got traded from that Tampa team and was there a long time, that would suck. But they didn't move a lot of people, so maybe there wasn't.
Yeah, they didn't move a ton of roster players. I don't think they moved any roster players, yeah, really.
It's not usually common for teams to move roster players, it's usually, like, firsts and stuff.
No, it makes sense.
I remember there was a basketball player, this is probably 4 or 5 years ago, but, like, he was traded from one team in the finals, like, 50 or 60% of the way through the season to the other team in the finals, so no matter who won, he was getting a championship ring because the NBA has, like, those minimum rules, like, they have their ring rules, like, set up. I'm pretty sure it's, like, 40 games.
I think it's 40 or it's not even, like, less than half of the season. Yeah. Which, I don't know, I kind of get. Like, I feel like if you just blew your knee out in there, like, in some weird circumstance, it would, like, I'm sure there's circumstances you can think of where, like, an injury in a trade or something where, like, you never play again and it's, like, you were essential to that team and they got a lot for you anyway. It's like, I don't know, man. How are you not a part of that fucking year's win? if you had so much trade value and they got something for you and you played games for them. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I did a lot of my end of my career there. What's that?
Arguably, then, like, that player who was traded halfway through the year to from one finals team to another, would he not, like, go celebrate with the team that won, even if he wasn't on that team?
I'm probably 100%. Like, I mean, unless you have bad blood with one, I feel like you would either way. And then, like, by stipulation, I guess you get bling either way, but...
Yeah, like, I don't know, just if you were to see that in hockey.
That's so hilarious. That'd be so funny, though. Guy's got both jerseys just on the sidelines in OT. He's like, throws it on, and whoever wins, he's just like, fucking right, trashes the other one.
It's like that, fuck, what was he, that guy that got, oh, who's the guy that threw his ring into the stands?
Oh, his ring?
Silver medal. Or the medal.
You know this one, Tay?
Elias Anderson.
Elias Anderson. That guy who got it was, like, he was wearing, like, 8 different jerseys.
Well, yeah, he had the jersey, took off the, like, didn't he have, I don't know how he did it,
but he had, like, he had both. I think he had the States jersey on, and then when they came around, he took it off and had the Sweden one on underneath, and he's like, yeah, give me the ring, and then chucks on the ring, he's like, yeah, he puts it on. Oh, God.
That was fucking so legendary. Other side, the kid's just absolutely destroyed all of them. Oh, what a moment. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for talking about the ring thing. I had to get into that. But sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it would be so embarrassing if you had, like, a player playing for Tampa and they lose to a team and he goes and celebrates with the team because he used to play for them.
Especially like, if he was, like, so fired up. Like,
I feel like the competitiveness in the players, wouldn't do that.
Yeah, totally. But I could 100% see that in the NBA.
Oh, I was just gonna say basketball. No question. Yeah. No question at all. I bet it's happened. I bet it's totally happened. And we just haven't seen it.
Probably one team probably went up 30 in game 7. They already switched benches. Like, hey, you know what? The boys.
Oh man.
Well, we got some more off-ice NHL news dropping this week. I don't know if it's been fully announced, but it looks like TNT is going to be picking up some NHL rights, that ESPN's not going to be taking the full 100%. So looks like ESPN and TNT are going to be splitting. And I got the numbers here. So ESPN's on a 7-year deal, paying $400 million to the NHL per year.
How are you?
So nice. $2.8 billion over the 7 years, and then TNT's paying somewhere around $225 million per season for its 7 years as well, about $1.6 billion. So I think ESPN's getting 4 of the next 7 playoffs, and I think TNT's picking up the other 3. I believe is somewhat what they're doing. But I think TNT is a perfect spot to go. If the NHL is set on staying with like the normal traditional media and like broadcast networks and normal cable television and not going online or anything like that, I think TNT is perfect. We've seen it from the NBA, of what like a NBA on TNT show is like the best show in sports.
Yeah, no kidding.
They get good insights, hilarious clips, and like it's just a perfect blend. Go ahead. I'm done.
I was gonna say, if they can get a panel anywhere close to like I know they're gonna have a good production. If they can get a panel anywhere close to as entertaining and as insightful and as open minded, or I don't know how you want to put it, but like they're so good at bringing up any kind of discussion. Always having entertainment in sight. Yeah, man, I don't know. I love how TNT does what they do with NBA, so I'm so excited to see what they do with the NHL. Not to mention, it looks like they're going to get the Winter Classic on New Year's Day as well, so maybe they'll bring in Shaq for that one. Get a few laughs.
Well, like,
they...
Where was I going with this? The normal like NHL broadcast and stuff, like I feel like they either think fans are like the dumbest people and don't know the sport that they're watching, or two, it's like old time guys that are just consistently like way behind on the times
and not funny at all.
Yeah, and it's like I was watching, I think it was an Avs broadcast, and the guy's like, he literally just like marveled at this defenseman or how good he was because he's 6'5". He's like, look, dude, they miss this guy so big or so much. Look how big he is. And it's like, but he's not good.
Yeah.
It's like, look, he's huge. It's like, okay, we need to get away from this this type. And I feel like all the regional broadcasts are bringing old players in from like way back. And it's just like, that's the same mindset.
Wait a minute. Does this mean we're going to get more Stephen A. Smith? We already were, because we got ESPN, right? Does this mean even more?
Does he do TNT?
I thought he was ESPN, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. For some reason, I'm just pretty sure I see him on the TNT broadcast. I don't know why. Is he their courtside guy? I don't know.
Probably. I don't know.
I don't know. Fuck that annoying guy. I don't want to hear him talk about hockey at all.
Except on our TikTok, at Hoser's Panel.
Yeah, literally, because that was funny, but everything else.
Yeah, hilarious, and we got a ton of views. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Fuck, I was going to say something. Now I've lost it. Like, you're rubbing off on me, buddy.
See? As easy as it looks.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I appreciate some of the panels that are out there. Obviously, when you got boys like Patrick Sharp, Scott Hartnell, etc., in the intermissions and stuff like that, they're fun to watch because, like, you knew them as, like, personalities on the ice as well. But I don't know, man. There's something about, like, to be able to grow the game to, like, every game, if there's an intermission, I will always turn it off.
Yep, never watch
I'll switch. I don't watch the intermissions. I don't watch the post-game shows. I don't watch the pre-game shows. I'll turn it on when the hockey starts. I'll turn it off when the hockey's over. So if they can get something captivating in between the periods so that like people are not just watching for the hockey, but watching for like the personalities off the ice as well. That's exciting. That's what you need. That's how you grow the game.
You know, I don't think he'll do it because he'll probably have to move, but you know who'd be perfect for that? Kevin Bieksa on like a TNT broadcast.
Yeah.
I think his personality would shine because he's been rocking it on Sportsnet. I'm sure he's got some sort of filter kind of thing that, or like guidelines to him. Yeah. And I think if he was put on like a kind of more looser TNT show, I think he would kill it because he's like one of the few guys that he brings great insight and jokes, but like knows the game very well and.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
Breaks it down very well, but still has good laughs, and I think that's kind of what the goal should be.
I agree 100%. The only thing I would add is that I think that he compliment like he all those things, and I think he easily compliments and looks like on the fly can do so all the other anchors and people that work with him. He's constantly throwing in names, throwing in jokes, throwing it to random people, or even like. I've even seen people fumble fuck their words or stutter on shit, and he's right there to pick them up and like, you know, replace it with a joke or something. It's actually hilarious, and like and you're right, like he shines on another level that everyone else kind of doesn't, and then if no one else can kind of reach it or they don't put the right guys around him, it would be great to see him go a place like TNT. Well put. Sorry, go ahead.
He's not a TV person, he's not a TV personality. He's a hockey personality.
Yep.
But he's just able to kind of show like that, right? Whereas all these other guys, like, no offense to them, but like James Duthie, even Elliot Friedman, like David Amber, like they're all just like boring, kind of. No offense. Like they're plain Janes, man. Like make a joke or like don't do the same like rehearsed laugh after you make a joke. Like it's not, you know, it's not real. Bieksa's got a picture of fucking Ryan Kessler's like hockey like naked edition like sitting in the background while he's giving an interview. Like that's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff you want, right?
I'm talking props. I'm talking stuff you thought of on the way in when you were drinking your coffee and you're like, that'd be funny. Like,
and Bert, when Burke was hired by the Penguins, he had like that that Berkey cutout behind him.
Oh, it's hilarious, man. You were telling me that story where, you know, where he was just like, he was just snickering about something and no one could tell. And then when it cut to him, they could all see the picture and everybody started laughing like, oh yeah, that's what you were laughing at.
He's laughing and no one else can see it because I guess their like monitors and webcams was kind of cutting it out and just showing his face. Or something. Just kinda, it kind of just pans over and he's just dying laughing.
There's a big thing of Berkeley right behind him just smiling. So good.
I feel like James Duthie could be a good host for a TNT show though. Like, I feel like he could vibe off Bieksa, and I think he's probably on a pretty strict like regiment as well.
Totally.
So I think because they don't need the host to be like crazy, like a crazy personality or anything, but like steers the show and chimes in with chirps.
Totally. Plus, obviously, like American Network, everything's gonna be completely different. Like all the roles and like the the different space you get is. So crazy over there. So, yeah, it'd be cool to see him more in a more creative space. I'd like that. Or even if they changed, you know, wherever he is now. But was that CBS? Is it? Where is he now? No. Fuck no. Bieksa and them.
He's Sportsnet.
Oh, okay, my bad. Oh, shit. Oops.
I would love to see Roberto Luongo.
Oh, and Bieksa, dude, could you imagine?
Dude, it'd be that so would be funny. So wicked. That's a fucking idea right there.
I don't think, like, I think he's expressed that he's not interested in doing, like, going that route.
He's also got younger kids, so a move would be probably not the best. I think he's settled in Florida.
Yeah. But, man, that, like, just his personality and, like, the stuff he's done over. The years, like, I think it would be so good.
That would be incredible.
Speaking of goalie personalities, I sent you guys a clip like earlier this week, I think, of Spencer Knight when he made his debut. Congrats, Spencer Knight, by the way. He made his NHL debut, and he got his first W. But it was him in Boston College. He was mic'd up for a practice. I thought it was so funny. I think we need to see more of this in the NHL, but in hockey in general. Like, he's just chirping guys, like, saying funny shit as he makes saves. Like, that's the kind of stuff you want to see.
Yeah, part one was great. So when they released part two, it was
just
an extra little encore.
Definitely.
I keep having this thing come into my brain and then it instantly goes away. I can never remember what it is. But as soon as I remember, I'm like, oh yeah, of course, this is what I'm going to talk about. And then I just, oh, my brain.
You did it again?
Yeah, but I didn't start my thought yet. I can't remember it. But I got a cool fun fact.
Okay.
So Nolan Foote, did he make his debut this week?
It might have been last week. He scored his first goal this week. Either way,
yeah. Right, yeah. His debut was the last Sunday.
Yeah.
But he's got 2 points in two games, a goal and assist. His first goal was an all Kelowna Rockets alumni goal.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah, so it was Foot from Merkley and I think Damon Severson.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was a cool little touch.
That's cool as shit.
Oh, yeah. We didn't. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Foot from Merkley and Severson. But this game was crazy. I totally forgot it happened this week. But the Penguins go up 4-0 in the first.
Yeah, nuts, dude.
Three goals in the first 9 minutes. Add a couple more in the second to make it 6-0 after two periods. And then the Devils somehow just turn it on. They score 41 seconds in, 5 minutes in, 8 minutes in. Crosby gets one back to make it 7-3 and basically finalizes the game, even though it was already 6-0. But Jack Hughes answers right back. Nolan Foote then scores his first with 6 minutes to go. Andreas Johnsson scores with 50 seconds left, and it's a 7-6 game, which unfortunately the Devils didn't pull out. But the Devils are the first team ever to score 6 goals in the third and not win the game.
Dude. What a little
fun
game.
Fact there. Or maybe it was the Penguins are the first team to allow 6 in the third and still win. I think that either way, it's the same.
Who watched it live?
I did not watch it live. I saw 6-0 and said, okay, cool. I'm going to go find something else.
No, fuck me, dude. Imagine sticking around for that and just losing
it. Plus, it was 6-0 and it was Pittsburgh, New Jersey. Like, who's watching that game? No offense to both those teams, but
come on.
Those are two teams that I would not put on.
Yeah. Especially when he sees 3-0 in the first. It's like, okay, cool. 4-0, okay, great. 5-0, okay, yeah. It's
shocking.
I got one buddy, Nate. Shout out, Nate. If you're listening, he's a fucking huge Pittsburgh fan, listens a bunch. And he was I know. No, whatever. we trash everybody on here, but especially me. But he was going off about him, like, whoo! Jesus. He was going off about him like... I dropped my notebook, sorry. He was going off about him like weeks, like, fuck, months ago. He was like, oh, yeah, we just need a couple of things. Or like, and I think when they got Kapanen, he was going off about Kapanen and how nuts they were. And I was like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. And fucking, it's funny because like past couple of weeks, he's been like... I've been Snapchatting him a bunch and he's been Snapchatting me more and more, like, so much hockey shit and getting more and more hyped. And I've been kind of paying more and more attention and slowly seeing them, like, kind of turn it on. And like, the stories have been getting crazier and crazier. So it's just funny because, obviously, like, to see a real fan going up, popping off about it. And he's funny. He's just such a Canadian guy. He talks so funny. So, yeah, it's just been funny to watch him. Clearly, he's having a great time watching this season. So it's been cool, kind of cool to see that. Buddy's a beauty. Shout out.
That's what it's all about, man. Like, that right there is just, like, getting together with the guys and, like, being able to fucking shoot the shit about your favorite team and how well they're doing, how well you think they're doing, or how shitty you think they're doing, and, like, all that shit. So fun, man. Like, that's the best part.
Uh-huh. I love that he was so right. And when he was saying that a while ago, I was like, oh, man, like, you know, this guy is just, like, blinded by the light. A couple months later, I'm like, oh, fuck, he was dead right. Like, and now he's just so lit and excited. So I thought that was funny. Wicked. And it's been funny to see his snaps.
Man, classic Vancouver fans, too. Like, not him. He's obviously a Pittsburgh Canucks fan. That's fine. Yeah. But, like, that's an epitome of a Vancouver Canucks fan. Is like, oh, they're going to be so good this year. And they just shit the bed. Or they're, like, fire betting. So.
Yeah. But at least he stays on the wagon. I think the Vancouver ones fall off a little.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Well, speaking of fire betting, the Canucks fans pulled together, came together this week, and they were able to buy a banner that just said #firebetting and flew it around the city a couple laps.
Nobody said it. Speaking of fire betting.
Yeah. Which, dude, I think that's hilarious.
Flew it around the what? What did they do with it?
So you know how like you get the prop planes that can fly a banner behind it? They flew it around town a couple laps.
Oh, that's wicked. I love that.
How much do you think that cost?
Do they got billboards already? I feel like billboards are first, and then you buy a plane.
Nah, they don't need billboards. There's so much pent-up anger that one billboard is not enough.
Jeez, man.
You got to be able to see it everywhere in the city.
I hope we're hashtagging that on Hosier's panel.
I
hope we're in the, hope we're in that discussion.
Yeah. We should be.
We could write a fucking report.
Man, speaking about Vancouver and how awful they are.
All right, let's go. What do you got? Make me feel better about my team.
No. I don't have anything specific. I have a question more so. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with Vancouver, actually, but they're pretty bad. So
fire.
Maybe think about it. I was thinking about this earlier. Like, we obviously have our favorite teams. Who's your least favorite team? Not necessarily the team itself, but like to watch. Like what team will you look at and go like, fuck that, I'm not watching because I hate this team?
Man, if you asked me before this year, I probably would have said like Minnesota. Like A, I don't like them. Yeah. B, I could never watch them, but I mean Kaprizov makes them now watchable. And other than that, like maybe New Jersey. I don't really have anything against them, but like I don't think I've really ever turned on a game involving New Jersey.
Yeah.
Other than that, like LA, maybe.
Fair enough. I gotta say, I think for me, I would say the St. Louis Blues. I don't think I've ever watched a full St. Louis Blues game unless it's a playoff game.
Yeah, probably same, unless they're playing the Avs. They're in the division all the time, so I kind of probably more likely to turn them on. I fucking hate the Blues, though. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just was thinking about it. That was a team that came up for me. I was like, man, I don't watch St. Louis games, like, ever. And I was just like, wow, like, that's crazy. I probably watched, like, two in my life.
If I'm honest with myself right now, Oh my God. First of all, I just read that Blue Jackets lost 9 straight, and that's hilarious. Yeah. And second of all, I wouldn't watch the Red Wings, man. Like, given given their play right now, like, that's a just absolute no-brainer. Like, they've been off my mind for so long that it's like, there's literally no reason. Like, even thinking of turning on that game just makes me feel bad. Like, you know, thinking of how bad that hockey is going to look makes me a little sick just thinking about it. So, sad to say, it's Detroit right now, but I would love for that not to be the case. But
Wait. Next year after, you got Lucas Raymond, Moritz Seider, Dylan Larkin, Philip Zadina, Jakob Vrana. Don't worry, buddy. They're going to get good.
Stevie Y, baby. Let's go.
What about your three least favorite teams, just in general?
Just in general?
In general, like not to watch just teams you don't like.
Just teams, if your team's playing them, you fucking hate their guts more than you hate, I don't know.
Anyway. Sure, you hate when your team plays them. I got you.
Not necessarily just when your team plays them, but like you think basically for yourself, your biggest three rivals kind of thing.
Sure.
Like I fucking hate Minnesota. They're definitely one of them.
Really?
I think Vegas will probably grow into one. But then they go away from the division again. So unless something like crazy happens, I don't like playing them. But I can't say I hate them. As much like as Minnesota. Honestly, like the Sharks, I fucking cannot stand anybody on the Sharks. And I don't know if Detroit is still up there for me in terms of Avs Red Wings. I think they've kind of just fallen off, moving to the east and just hitting the bottom of the barrel. Oh, Dallas. Dallas is number three.
Yeah, you said like seven teams, Mike. What do you mean? I said three.
Minnesota, San Jose, and Dallas.
You also said Vegas, Detroit.
No, but I said maybe them, but no, not them.
Okay, fair. So Dallas, Minnesota, San Jose, Dallas.
Okay, I don't know. I might have to take San Jose off there and put St. Louis because
St. Louis, yeah, I cannot fair stand enough.
St. Louis. Yeah, Minnesota, Dallas, and St. Louis. We'll do that.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to go similarly in the same conference normally, or not conference, division normally, but fucking I hate the Toronto Maple Leafs with a passion. I fucking hate them so much. They're all spoiled little brats who think they can do whatever they want. And any Leafs fans, I'm so sorry. Don't listen to this part, but you can skip through whatever I just said, but anyways, yeah, it's
you could skip through what you just listened through to.
What you just listened to. Sorry for no warning, but fuck, man.
Sorry, suckers.
Yeah, they drive me nuts, and because they're actually good too, and they're in Tampa's division, like it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. Not a huge fan of the Boston Bruins, if I have to say that as well. They've just been good for too long, man. I don't know what it is. They need to kind of fall off their high horse. And then, yeah, I'm going to go with St. Louis as well. I don't know why. They're boring and I hate them. Not exciting.
Man, I love when you're watching a playoff series with your team and like either they're like diving or like cross checks and stuff. It's like, that's fucking team every goddamn time. They're fucking diving and shit. But it just rekindles all of the anger.
Yeah. Who does that, 100%. Sorry?
Oh, just like any team that your team's playing against.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's very easy to generate teams you do not like, apparently, in this league. There's only like six teams I actually like. Everything else I just fucking tolerate a few and
yeah. Before I started playing fantasy hockey, man, Tampa Bay was the only team I wanted to watch. Every other team, fuck you. I don't even want to look at this. And then I started playing fantasy. I was like, okay, I got guys on this team, guys on this team. I think I want to change St. Louis. St. Louis is boring, but I don't hate them. I hate, despise the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mm. Hate them. I would say they're number two, and Boston is number three. But Columbus sucks this year, so like I didn't even really think of them. They're not really a rival.
I could probably go through every team and say something I hate about them, so...
And that's sports. A fucking lot. I think that's sports. A really hard one to do.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay, Carolina Hurricanes. They're too good. Hate them. Tampa Bay Lightning. Ah, fuck. I don't know.
They lost last game. Fuck you.
And you know what else too? Like, I feel like it changes so much. Like, if you had to ask me this question 2 years ago, I would have like almost none of the same teams. And if you ask me this, if you asked me this when I was growing up, it would have been a no-brainer. Like, I would have dead to rights been like it's hard to right now, and I'll even go Vancouver, Edmonton. Like, Edmonton's still there. I fucking, like, probably more than ever, I hate that fucking team.
It's in the contract.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's one of those Yankees-Red Sox things. But, fucking... So, yeah, I can't stand them ever since McDavid thing. Right after we get our good players and start getting our break, it's like, okay, you gave them Jesus? Like, come on. So, that's always going to suck. Growing up, the Vancouver thing was fucking brutal, but as soon as Vancouver got a little bit worse, it's like, and we both sucked, it was like, hey, you know, we just kind of held hands about it for a while. but then as soon as they get any light, they're pricks again. And then we took their goalie and everything, and now they shot up. So that's the thing. They're just lippy when they want to be. So Vancouver's kind of always on my like radar, but I feel bad because I know how it feels to eat at the bottom of the food chain. So fucking, but there's like a bit of mutual respect there, but I know it's definitely Edmonton's number one for me. I always hated New Jersey Devils. I don't know why, because when I started watching, they were like, it was kind of when they were like losing a lot of their guys and when they were all getting older, and they went into this like a bit of Brodeur, but like as after they were like, other than riding his big streak. And, like, and you know what? Like, here's a great example. Was it the 2014 Stanley Cup Finals he was in with the LA Kings?
Nailed it.
Yep, that was one of the most boring Stanley Cup Finals I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And when they got to the fucking, I think it was game six or something, the game that ended it, there was a five-minute, some bullshit call, like, 4 or 5 minutes into the game. And, like, I was so livid. I was like, man, as soon as you got, like, a decent series, it might go a game or two more. I might actually give a fuck. And I thought the refs totally blew it. And I remember just thinking, like, man, like, I already don't care at all. And, like, and I feel like I've invested time in this stupid fucking series. And now, like, it's even more ruined. So that made me mad. And then, like, in that, I also don't really like the LA Kings. And that year when they took when Sutter went to them from Calgary, and then they went on that big run and went 8th seed to the finals and won the fucking Stanley Cup, I was so mad. So I think I'll say them. What did I say? Edmonton, Edmonton, LA Kings, and New Jersey Devils. Fuck them.
Just hate both of them just for that one horrible Stanley Cup final.
Well, that Stanley Cup final was bad. There's a bunch of reasons. Like Dustin Brown. Oh, yeah. Dustin Brown is one of my least favorite players in the world. Looks like a fucking absolute hooker. He looks fucking terrible, man. He looks so bad. He's just like, look at him. He just looks like he has gummers for breakfast when he was winning that cup and stuff. I was like, I hate this guy. He's that ugly face. And like, and he got so bad and he was their captain and he just like, he would play so terrible. Oh, yeah. Fuck LA, man.
I'm so glad I asked this question.
Yeah, me too. It's the Tyler rant. I went off. Okay. That's it, though.
Those three. Definitely, like, it's like a rolling change every couple of years, hey? Because, like,
really hard to pick.
A few years ago, Nashville would have been way up there for me.
It was hard to not pick the Islanders, but right now I like them a lot. But that's never been that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I feel like Florida. I'm going to fucking hate Florida in the next couple years.
Probably. Yeah.
But I like them right now because, like, Barkov's a stud. Huberdeau's fun to watch. Spencer Knight's my boy. I love Spencer Knight.
Yeah.
Gonna hate him soon.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a quick question to jump back a little bit to talking about the firebending flag.
Okay.
If you had to guess, there's this, I don't know what company it is. I'm not an expert on flying banners of things, but if you wanted an hourly rate for like a marketing campaign, how much you think you're looking an hour per hour? How much? What's your guess?
$3,500
an hour,
for that plane.
Yeah, for everything. Like if you wanted to fly a banner, fuel costs and everything.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's a pretty good guess.
After you said fuel cost.
Well, I'm assuming it gets into that.
Really? Man, I don't know. I was gonna say less than you. Like, barely, but I was going to say a little bit less. I don't know, a little bit more than 10?
A little bit more.
The price is right,
like,
dude.
Like, $35,001. Or $3,501.
I'm saying $4,000.
$4,000, yeah. This company apparently is a bargain. Hourly rates will range on average from $375 to $600 an hour.
What? Just nothing?
Yeah.
Let's get a Hoser Spamla one like next week. Oh my god!
Unless our faces
on there,
unless you're planning like a beach, fly over a beach. If it's a big audience on a beach, you're looking at about $2,800 a day.
What
a day?
I just read that per day and not per hour. And I should email them. Okay, guys.
I was gonna say let's start getting some figures here.
Oh. I got a podcast. I'd like to advertise every hour on the hour for the next 25 days. You're going to fly the entire city of Vancouver.
Should do like Saturday or Sunday or something before the pod when it's just bumping.
Yeah. Great idea.
If we do that one day, I'd like just for, oh my God, just for the fucking joke. $600? Are you kidding? 100%.
It's $200 each, boys.
Dude, let's go. That's fucking wicked. How long can this message be?
I'd fucking do that for sure.
I don't know.
All it would have to be is listen to Hoser's panel and like the big, like our logo and then like maybe a podcast logo, like the Apple podcast or like just podcast in general logo.
Dude, that'd be hilarious. It's just like so tiny you can't read it. Fuck!
All right, was that... That just about do her, I think.
I kind of think so.
I don't think there's anything else that we need to break down.
No, we're getting fucking close. Getting fucking close, fellas. Get the popcorn ready.
Oh, man. Playoffs going to be great.
Yeah, hopefully, I can't wait.
Hopefully COVID doesn't deal with it again and everybody's healthy. And
we can get together and watch it all in the same household and fucking chuck some beers.
For sure. Mike will be fucking married by the time we're doing playoffs.
Yeah, so Ty will have to call the strippers then.
Yep. Yep. God bless them as soon as they're
speed dial number two.
Yeah. I got them. Okay, send them in. We'll meet you next week. Look, what the fuck am I watching? It's just the sloppiest hockey ever. These guys are fucked. It's just like an AHL game. Anyway,
fuck. I mean, yeah, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I mean, can we relegate the Kings and the fucking Ducks this year? Keep Detroit. Just fuck these guys.
Keep Detroit. I don't know if you've seen Detroit's game, but I watched them against Dallas a couple days ago for, I think.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I can't remember why.
We should talk about that.
Oh, here we go. What was it?
But what?
The Dallas-Detroit game,
man. Dallas-Detroit game? I was like, what even happened? Fill the brother in.
I don't know. What happened in it? I'm so
losing steam here. Did he not just say?
What do you mean?
What happened in it? I just watched it. Was there something?
The shots were 50-3. Oh, shit.
Different game, but yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Shots were 50-3. Like, no, they were like 37-4, I think, after the second period.
I think it was 41, I think they got to, but yeah.
Okay, so 41-4 after the second for Dallas, and Detroit was up 1-0.
As you do in hockey.
I was waiting for a reaction.
No, sorry, I just nailed my desk, and she's not secure. I was like, is she going to go? But she's good. She's good, fellas. She's secure. Don't worry. Yeah, English is my first language. Don't worry.
Yeah, 41-6 for the shots. I think it was like 37-3 at one point.
Everybody's crying. Oh, yeah, that's fucked. Did they win?
No, they lost in overtime.
Dallas won in overtime.
No!
Detroit actually outshot Dallas in the third, and that's when they gave up a goal.
Oh, yikes. My God.
Unfortunate.
I'm going to cut 3 minutes of fucking silence there. Just, I was so stunned. I was like, nothing happened that game. I don't think I had any money on it. I was just watching it, and I was like, why am I watching this game? But yeah, that game was fucked.
Why am I watching this game?
That's really what I thought. I was like, this game is so bad, don't do it.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to bed.
For the fourth time, I think that about doozer.
That about doozer. Let's call her quits tonight, eh, fellas?
That's going to do it for this week. In the books.
Yep, and as soon as we sign off, something huge is going to come into our brains. We'll be like, fuck.
More every time, news. Man. All right, peace, fellas. Episode 19, bye. We out. Hosier's panel. See you next week.
Find us in the skies for the next 3 weeks here.
Yeah. If you're in the Vancouver area, have a look up.
All right, see you,
producer,
fellas.
Producer Tim, edit this bitch.